talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, you can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with any from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497. Anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Susie One World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters. Lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. We may or may be children of God, Jesus, about to rise on Easter Sunday. Allah. I think it's Muslim New Year or something like that this time of year. Of course, God. Yeah, the Passover. God and God. Yeah. We could be God's children. We could be Jesus' children. We could be Krishna's children. We could be Buddha's. Buddha's birthday is also this time of year. We could be Buddha's children. We don't really know. I mean, some people say yes, some say no. We could be my children. It is my anniversary, our anniversary. Our 17th wedding anniversary. Max and Susie, yeah. So you could be considered all of my children, and I do think of you that way sometimes. But that's a little presumptuous. What you always are. Unless you were born in a test tube, and even then there has to be a sperm and an egg, you know. Around this time of year we have a lot of eggs. Easter eggs, Passover eggs, eggs and sperm. We are all children of sex. Capital X. And that is what this show is about here on Radio Susie One. Broadcasting live on the World Wide Web, Worldwide Revolution, Worldwide Sexual Revelation. And we're here at the Speakeasy in the soul of downtown L.A., and I'm surrounded by friends and major movers and shakers and shimmiers in the soul of downtown L.A. And we're celebrating our anniversary. And we're really celebrating the power of love. And freedom. Love and freedom. Which sometimes are in opposition, but every once in a while they meet and wow, that's a good feeling. It's a great feeling. Love and freedom. Having the one you love set free, dare I say. Yeah. And being free again and not having to wear suits and go to court every day. Although I started to really rock those suits. But let's put on Sister Sarah's microphone. She's about to talk about
the good old days of going to court.
I just wanted to say court days were so fun.
Court day!
Court day! That's our song.
It was our song, and it was a kind of a emo song.
Yes, there was something noticed through the painful torture of trudging into the giant building and dealing with the man.
Paying $20 to park.
$20.
Not even necessarily getting a parking place. And struggling with the race.
Waiting in the security line so they could search your purse. Search your person.
And then mistreated by lawyers.
Ah, lawyers! I understand all the jokes now. They're the worst fucking people on earth. Let's start this show off with some anger towards lawyers.
Well, I love lawyers. I do. I mean, I hate them, but, I mean, we need them. We do need them.
You're right. I can't judge all lawyers just because 90% of them are assholes.
And I keep hoping. It's kind of like some women are with men, you know, dating. I hope I meet the right lawyer. The lawyer.
Yes!
The lawyer of my dreams.
The right lawyer is almost as important as the right man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, well, it's pretty important. Yeah,
and the right accountant. Right people to find.
Yes. Well, I have the right husband.
Yes, you've done that.
He's also the right engineer. It's good that I have two in one there.
And those court dates were...
Court day!
Days of terror.
Terror.
In my heart.
For you?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
really? You weren't excited to see us?
I was excited, but I was roused at 30 in the evening.
Yes.
Yeah.
By
we thought it was
deputies.
Bad enough. We were roused at 7 in the morning.
7 in the morning.
Yeah. At 3:30.
That was hard for me to see 7. But 3:30, that's fucking rough.
That is. And then, you know, it's like Hollywood. Hurry up and wait.
Down long hallways with beatings every morning, beatings of prisoners by LA County sheriffs. Walking down the hallways.
They didn't beat you.
No, into cells.
And who would they beat?
They beat old men. They beat people who requested some respect. They beat people in handcuffs. A lot of people every day, and then they take you to cells, and they put you in there with 50 other people in a 10-by-10 cell.
You know...
And you sit there for hours, and you feed the cockroaches, and the mice, and the rats. And then you sit there, and then you finally get to court.
Yeah.
And for just one moment, for one glimpse, get to look at the person you love.
Yeah, it was really exciting. I mean, it was so romantic. It was horrifying, and I would cry every time.
Oh, you know what tripped me? Because you guys didn't physically touch.
No, they don't all touch.
And it's like these little 5 minutes that we would get in the courtroom was like, it felt to me a little closer than visiting behind the glass.
It was very fetishistic.
Because you were like in the same... airspace.
It was crazy.
Always.
No touching and no signaling. Not allowed to go high.
That's a misdemeanor.
Susie was horrible at keeping that rule.
I got better at it.
We almost got kicked out many times because she was emoting all the place.
Yes, and signaling and blowing kisses and jumping up and down like a cheerleader.
And saying, I love you.
Like, no talking to the prisoners. We're going to take you away.
It's like we're not, you know, conspiring. She just said, I love you. Like, ugh.
But that creates disorder. No thanks. I like that other thing, though.
And so we had a few minutes in court. And we all went with great hopes of freedom and liberty and understanding true justice, only to
get apparatchiks at various levels. Apparatchiks just kind of moving the machinery along and going, what is this, failure to appear on charges that were dismissed? That doesn't make any sense. Well, let's move along to the next person and let that person
deal with this. It was like a fucking
because
board game.
I don't know how to deal with
it
this.
It goes, move 2 spaces ahead, move 3 spaces back, move 7 spaces forward. Like, nothing was predictable or so bad.
Max, I had a quick question. Yeah. Sometimes you would come into the courtroom free, like a free man, and sometimes you'd come in handcuffs. And I was wondering, what was it that defined the difference between how you would enter?
The interesting part was that defined by which deputy knew Dr.
Oh, my God, I feel responsible
if they
now.
Knew, if they
damn
knew.
You!
Well, at least sometimes he didn't go with
handcuffs
in front.
Praise you, you got 50% of them.
They would decide whether they put the handcuffs in the front or in the back.
Oh, in the back was the worst.
Technically, you're supposed to have all prisoners with, until trial time, with the handcuffs in the back. But once in a while... the deputy would know who Susan is, and they'd say, listen, you're not going to go nuts, right, in the courtroom? I said, of course. And then they would handcuff me in the front.
Aww. We love them. Yeah. I would like to know their names. Do you remember the good one?
An emotional wreck when you would come in with your hands behind your back.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, try to sit in the chairs.
Well, it's like you're hogtied. It's like you're half hogtied.
Oh, it is. It's a bondage, like domination.
Dr.
Madness.
Ben is here. By the way, Dr. Steedman, speaking of princes of the court.
Yeah. So, and for me, after you guys left and went to have lunch and drove back to the speakeasy.
Oh, yes, had a wonderful day.
Oh, yes. Well, we didn't do what you had to do, which was to sit there and wait for a bus.
I would wait for a bus, and I would get back into my lovely little cell with my lovely roommate, who's really a wonderful one. Not till 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 o'clock at night. So we would sit in the holding cells. And sometimes keep in mind that going to the court was right across the street. So it would take anywhere from 12 to 14, 16 hours to actually move us back and forth.
But this is big business, you see. It's part of the bigger business, which is just the prison business. But one part of the prison business is the bus business. And busing people from one place to another is really important. I mean, from across the street.
And if you think about, like, bodies, you know, they think of bodies.
They call them that.
To cattle. You know, and you want to move some cattle around, and you got to sell them to this guy, and you got to get them down this river, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I think they probably think of it in the same terms. There's heads. It costs so much per head to get them across much square footage, you know, and you have to wait sometimes for...
As I'm telling Bill, it's very much like the hotel business. They have to fill the rooms...
Yes.
And they get
that's the business model. That's the profit.
Right.
They gotta fill the rooms.
The rooms.
And they wanna fill the buses.
That's crazy. That's kinda like schools. Like public schools have the same shit, price per head and
Right, exactly.
So they're trying to pick people up to fill up these prisons that they're building.
That makes math evil.
Mass evil.
Math. I don't have a lisp.
It's math. Mathematical.
Mathematical. Oh. Yeah. You know, because if you go $147 a head times 20,000 makes 100 billion, blah, blah, blah. Like, the moment that you start, like, attaching numbers to humans and you calculate it, then...
Right. And then there's an impact to bring more people in and keep them there.
And it's detached. It's no longer, like, a soul that you're dealing with. It's now just, like, some numbers in an equation that equals billions.
And that's really what it's all about. It's just it's a body business. It's a hotel business. The terrible part about it is, of course, that it's a criminal business. It's a business downtown Los Angeles where we're holding 18,000. That's 18,000 men, women, for money. We're holding them for money. We're not really even holding them for any kind of crime because the crimes are new. Every day there's new crimes, you know, from beating people to whatever it is, a new crime. And once you've picked up all those criminals, you need crimes because you have to fill up the buildings because otherwise they're not profitable.
You have these buildings, you have these buses, you have an industry, and one of America's biggest growth industries is the multi-pronged prison industry. And we have Jeff on line two. Should we take
Jeff,
a call?
Sure, okay.
Jeff.
Caller
on line two.
Let's see. Go ahead.
Hello, Jeff. Oops. Let's turn him up. Hello, Jeff.
I don't hear. Does he hear me? Okay. All right. Well, let's see. We can talk to Ellis, Brother Ellis.
Good evening.
Nice Good of, evening, Brother Ellis.
Nice of you to have me here tonight.
Whoa.
Ooh. Little male competition brought
Hello?
One voice and
Sorry.
The other voice came on.
Hello?
Yes. Is that Jeff? Jeff?
Yes, I'm here.
There you are,
oh,
Jeff.
Oh, we got Jeff.
Okay, so we have Jeff and Ellis. We have two boys with us now.
Yay,
two more.
You were requesting
it's
more
boys.
It's
a boy night tonight. We have Eli's here tonight.
Yeah.
At the speakeasy.
Sperm wars.
Sperm wars. Yeah. Oh, I hope they're enjoying it. Anyway, hi, Jeff. What's up with you?
Well, I actually have a situation at home.
Yeah.
I'm a younger male. I'm actually 18 right now.
Right now?
Yeah, I'm 18 now.
That's, okay. That's important.
That's, what's important is how old you are right now.
You know, it does change.
Yeah. And, I actually have a situation. My mom has been, my mom and dad have divorced since I was quite a bit younger, like 5, 6 years old.
Yeah.
And so I grew up just me and my mom in the house. And I always, once I started getting into my teenage years and getting puberty and getting curious about girls, I guess just mainly because of it, just being me and her in the house and her always kind of being the closest female around me, started noticing around 13 years old or so, I had started gaining kind of an attraction toward her.
Towards your mom.
And
yes.
You're right.
Mom,
right.
This
My
is
favorite
a
story.
Mother-son taboo attraction.
How old are you now?
I'm 18 right now.
You're 18. I'm sorry.
Wow.
We heard that earlier.
18. Okay. 18. So you've had this attraction how long?
I started probably when I was 13, when I really started kind of getting into girl, you know, women's bodies and all that.
Okay. So are you still living in your mother's house?
Yes, I do. Still live with her, and it's still just me and her in the home.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Have you had yeah. girlfriends over that time?
I actually have, but it always just kind of seemed like, even, you know, like, of course, I wouldn't want to feel like I was betraying the relationship I was in, but even through relationships, I guess just because I was always coming back home, I mean, I was still mostly around her. One thing, she's always kind of fit the type that, physically, that I've been attracted to.
Yeah.
You know, my mom is somewhat of a petite woman, but with a real curvy build. And one of the first things I remember kind of being attracted to was her breast size when I started really kind of getting into that thing. I remember just always being real attracted to the size of her breasts, how large they were, to the point where really the first kind of, you know, things I would do when I was kind of feeling that way is, I remember around 13, I would start kind of sneaking into her, like, panty drawer and into her, you know, bras, and, you know, would look at the tags, because I was always so curious to how big she was. She's actually a 42 double D.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, they definitely stand out.
Yeah, so you have this this almost, I mean, you've got a very erotic attitude about your mom. I mean, how's that, you know, kind of make life with her? Are you comfortable hanging around her? Does she return the interest, or?
Well, that's what I kind of wonder, because it has kind of progressed. I mean, at first it was usually just things kind of sneaking behind her.
Can you speak up a little, darling?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It is, you know, I'm curious about that and wondered myself, because it seems like there's been kind of things where I can't really decipher if it's, you know, an interest or not, like, because it has kind of progressed from a point from where, you know, at first when I was younger, it was just like, you know, like I said, sneaking behind her back, looking in her panty drawers and stuff like that, taking worn panties of hers out of the hamper to you know, smell them, common things like that.
Here's the terrible thing about this whole story is that most kids do that. It's very normal.
Right. Well, exactly. So what we want to know is, does mom have this interest in you? Well, you don't even know because you're only 18. So you're just so involved in your own interest.
I've tried to progress. I've tried to kind of push it forward, and I've never come up, like, approached her in a... It's weird, but, like, in a conscious state, I've actually...
Well, I'm not suggesting that you do. I don't think you should, really. Sarah might disagree with me there.
I'm just listening to see where this goes. Wait. You said you didn't approach her in a conscious state. Did you approach her in an unconscious state?
Were you sneaking into her bedroom?
Yes. She goes out quite a bit with girlfriends and all, and they'll go out and drink and all.
Ooh,
and
got
like
drunk.
A heavy sleeper anyway, but when she drinks, she like out to the world.
Oh, you went in there, and was she naked, or did you like? What did you do?
Generally, I would kind of, if she wasn't, I would kind of that way. She either usually sleeps like topless and in panties, or she'll sleep in a nightgown. And if she wears a nightgown, she doesn't wear a bra panties.
Yeah.
And so I remember the first time I actually ever kind of went into her room and she was sleeping.
Uh-huh.
She had a gown on, and I just kind of worked the strap and the shoulders down to where I could get the top of the gown under her tits.
Did you?
Yeah.
Dirty little boy.
See, I don't think most boys do that to their
mom. No, that's scary.
That's a little more through the panty drawer.
I mean,
a lot of boys go through the panty drawer.
Peeking through the keyhole is one thing.
Pulling the nightgown down, and then what did you do? Now your voice is fading.
Yeah,
you got to speak up, darling.
He's telling her secrets.
Oh, sorry. I would kind of fondle to make sure that she wasn't, you know, going to budge, make sure she was asleep. And, you know, it eventually got into where I would just kind of lick, like, on her nipples and stuff like that.
Ooh.
Real softly.
Ooh, licking on her nipples.
Yeah.
Now, that's a little farther than most boys do. You loved your mother, but did you do that, Alice?
No. I mean, did you really have the balls to do? I mean, or is that just fantasy?
You must have.
Well, it's a single family or single parent.
What did he say? It was all the
what?
She'd been drinking a lot. This was a key.
I knew if she was coming home.
And I understand this whole principle of drinking, because the other night was Passover. And I'll tell you, I could have had my son that I have come up and lick my nipples, and I would have been just fine, because I was so drunk at the end of Passover. I was passed out. So this mother, I know, was passed out. She didn't even maybe know. And you did that, you naughty boy. You're very naughty. Very, you know, have a paddle here. I should spank you with it. Really, I'm serious in a way. You're going to have all kinds of weird problems as you get older because society doesn't accept this. I don't necessarily think you're a bad person, you know. I don't. But you're playing with fire. You're playing with fire.
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
Fire feels the best.
Of course.
You can't even do that woman that's related to you without them knowing about it.
Well, that's true. First of all, you are doing a form of non-consensual sex, okay? Let's just remember that, which I wasn't thinking of, because it sounded so romantic in a way. Yeah, it's non-consensual fucking sex to have some woman, whether she's your mother or not, passed out and to go pulling her... I mean, what if she woke up? She could have a heart attack. If suddenly she popped up and my son is licking my nipples.
You know, I think almost in a way I kind of...
He wanted
her
to wake up.
Would do it in a sense wondering if she would wake up, where it would at least be a better situation knowing that either at least, I guess, finally getting an answer one way or another.
He wants to confront it with her. He wants
let
to continue,
or she would wake up and freak out.
So wait. What's his name? Jeff.
Jeff.
You haven't had any signs that your mom reciprocates this feeling, right? I mean, you just told us a story of
big tits.
She's
and
passed out, but she hasn't ever reciprocated. Right?
Never any physical contact. I've had instances where she's kind of in my older teen years, even really, where she had walked in on me at times or caught me, like, masturbating.
How does she react?
I never really got, like, the kind of freaked out mom reaction or anything. It was always just kind of like a giggle, like a smile or a smirk. And
here she is just trying to be a liberal mother, and her son is interpreting this as a come on. Right. She's just, you know, she's just a hot mom.
What do you say about his desire to, like, front this issue with her? Like, he's sneaking around trying to get her to catch him. I mean,
well,
is that worse than going straight to her face and being like, yo, mom, I'm into you?
I mean, I'm not saying that there's some sort of happy white picket fence ending to this situation.
Say it.
There's
Give
attraction.
Me a picket fence.
Yeah,
there's attraction, and yet it is a common situation, as Max says. There's a lot of guys go through their mommy's panties, and a lot of Freud coined the apple complex, where the son wants to marry the mother and kill the father. And, of course, his father already was divorced from his mother, so his father is kind of gone from the situation. Mother is there. So there's nothing
to
stop him from taking possession of the mom. And there's, you know, a certain kind of intimacy there. And then she's, you know, I do believe that some people are just very sexual and they look seductive even if they're not trying to be.
And I think, Susan, that in the heartland of America, in the farmlands of America, this is a fairly common situation. These are, humans are lonely and, you know, they fall in love with the mothers, they fall in love with the pigs in the pig yard, and they fall in love. Humans.
In the pig yard.
Well,
nothing, nothing personal about your mother.
No. It has nothing to do with that. No. It has to do
with... It's our 17th wedding anniversary. It, the pigs.
Well,
the pig
can I just... All right, can I just tell you a little story then? Okay. So, when I was a young kid, I was not even... I was 13, and...
Your mother was hot.
No. Actually, I got a job. This is when kids could work, okay? Without people getting food and... you know, taken to jail and all kinds of stuff. I got a job, a sort of a part-time job, with the laundryman, okay?
Uh-huh.
So he would come and pick up, and it was kind of like a milk truck. And we would go around, and I would run off the truck, get off the truck, and go get the laundry, okay? So we'd go to Mrs. Giovanni's house, and we'd bring the laundry in. And then he'd go, hey, let's pull out the panties. Right, and we drive around in this truck in Montclair, New Jersey, in 1956-57, right? Smelling Miss Jones's panties and Mrs.
Yes, but these
Giovanni.
Were various women's panties.
Various, right? Various.
He's got a thing for his mom.
Well, right, okay, but then I talked to the kids whose mothers' panties I was smelling, and they were all very impotent. So. There was like a panty conspiracy. And this
is
was...
Is there still a panty conspiracy?
Yeah, of course. There's
the 1950, okay?
Worried about leaving my pants in the laundry basket in a good condition?
Certainly, Hibiki's
Oh, my God!
You should certainly wonder
panties
about who is sniffing what.
One of our keywords on Google is panties, okay? So there are a lot of panty enthusiasts out there. My husband happens to be one of them. But Jeff here, I think panties were only... like a handkerchief across
the
path.
Oh, they were the most accessible part of his...
But he's gone on to actual,
nipple-licking. He's gone on to nipple-licking.
Anything more?
That.
Did you ever do anything more than that, Jeff?
Usually, I mean, the only thing more would just be fondling, like, if she was on her stomach, I would, you know, fondle her ass,
Ass fondling. Excuse me.
Ass fondling and nipple licking. I don't know if I can tweet all this.
Whoa.
But, like, the only thing that I really kind of question, like, asking as far as reciprocation.
But did she breastfeed you? Can I ask you that question? Were you nibbling
we're doing
on
a
her?
Survey.
Wait, were you nibbling on her breast when you were like a days old?
No, actually, didn't. From what
okay,
I
that's your problem. You should have been nibbling on those
gone
breasts.
Either way, I know it.
Yeah.
Because there's both.
Right.
I predict this is what I did.
What'd you do?
Transfer that fetish to other women, older women, like with large breasts, because this is not a love thing. It's a pure sexual horniness, 18-year-olds, 15-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old thing. Boy, I'd like to get somebody. Mom's convenient.
Do you think it's convenience? Is it convenience, Jeff? Is she just easier to get? Because you got a drunk mom?
Well, it's better than going out and sucking on somebody's stranger's nipples, okay?
Well, then this is not so romantic. Okay, Ellis, you have busted my bubble about the romance here.
No, but he's right. He's right.
Okay.
I know I am.
Then I have to agree. You should not go play with this fire anymore. And it's not fair to your mother.
You will naturally attract older women with large breasts during the course of your life. Not to put that into your head. But if that's a fetish of yours, if that's a thing, these
you
women are
putting it into his head.
Then
I heard
should
that.
Should I stop?
No. Do you not get out enough, Jeff?
I mean, I do. I have, you know, quite a bit of friends, and we'll go out and kind of do the club scene. I'll keep and meet girls out when we go out, and there's, you know, definitely been some
girls. That's the key.
And things like that.
You need women. You need
Trader
a woman.
Joe's.
A lucky night. Even if I were to go out, find a girl, get lucky, and go back home, it just seems like I still am always kind of drawn, you know, into, like, the room still, or at least peek, you know.
Into the room with Mom. Well, you do live with her, and it's kind of irresistible. So, you know, I understand, but right. You should resist it anyway. I mean, if you don't, you know, I don't consider you a criminal, but I do kind of think it's wrong of you to do this to her. You kind of are her in a passive way, and especially since you.
Well, see, I think one of the things also that makes it, I guess, like you did say, irresistible is, and I don't always come of her not really thinking of me thinking in that way, but because it's just me and her since a kid, she never really has thought all that much of walking around the house and like.
Hey, by the way, because your mom looked like
his mom is very hot. Kind of 42 double D.
42 double D. My God.
Perfect.
I think the non-consensual shit has to stop.
Yeah,
I think we need
absolutely.
To say that immediately.
Well,
with
we've
anyone.
Said that
Jeff,
over and over. He doesn't
non-consensual
really want
to listen. Has to stop. I'm concerned because you seem like you need to confront this. And so, I mean, if you're burning it, then, I mean, I don't want to advise one way or the other, but Jesus, confront directly, not consensual.
Well, what about getting a job and getting your own apartment?
I do work. I actually have, you know, been saving up right now. I'm going to school and all, so I was kind of getting through school and all before.
And do you contribute to
I am working out and going and waiting for the school
the family thing
and everything before actually getting out on my own.
Because part of this is sheer proximity.
Right.
Sheer
yeah.
convenience.
And sheer horniness. Because you're
yeah,
how old are you?
Oh yeah.
Are you a good guy?
Yeah,
are you like the kind of guy that can't get girls?
No, I mean like I said, I'll go out with friends, we'll go out and do the club.
He's
scene
in the club scene, yeah.
You say friends.
Generally I mean on the
that doesn't system. Sound like do you get girls or women
gay.
Or anything?
Listen, our first love as children is what? Is our mother.
Well, a lot of gay guys really love their
mother. Our first sex
are you maybe a little bit gay?
Yeah. No, our first sex is with our mothers.
That's not accusatory.
That's
first sex is not with your mother.
Yes, it is, because we suckle on her nipples, okay?
Well, he didn't do that.
Yeah, well, but he didn't do that, but we're held. She washes penises, our asshole. It's all very sexual. It feels wonderful, you know? And it's our mom, you know? Now the issue is... when you get older, you got to deal with that kind of thing because that's our first contact with women
our
mom.
Does your mom have any boyfriends?
She's dated through the years. She's never really had much of an actual serious long-term relationship.
All our lines are up, Susie, so we
okay.
are my dad divorced.
But I don't have any other... I have our friend in Kissin who I'm
no,
not...
No, Susie, we got all kinds... Okay, all right.
Okay, so let's...
Okay,
so
let's go
on.
It's about our anniversary
okay,
anyway.
Here's the thing.
So.
I'm just going to end with you, Jeff, and just tell
okay.
you that I do not think you should continue to
non-consensually...
Yeah, exactly. That's illegal and unethical and disturbing, whether she's your mom or not. And then the other thing is, she is your mom. And I don't think just having these kind of feelings, there's nothing unethical about having these feelings. especially considering your situation. So, you know, I don't blame you, and you should never blame yourself for having these feelings, but you should just know that you'll all be better off, you and your mom, if you can do kind of what Ellis said, which is to kind of displace these feelings, try to transfer them to another woman, an older woman maybe, not like the girls you meet in the club. An interesting woman with big boobs.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Plenty around.
Try it before you get into this kind of crazy black hole of incest.
Right. And in the meantime, just understand.
If you do, call us and tell us about it because we'll be all ears.
Yeah.
We will want to hear about it and talk about it because we are sluts.
And also, the ideal is the enemy. The reality is that mothers and fathers, they're our first sexual beings that we deal with.
Right.
Anyway, be good, okay?
Ha-ha.
And
be 18
and grow up, and you'll get over this phase of mom.
Okay.
And okay.
Okay, it's our anniversary.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you take her now, huh?
I would like to clear a story.
Sure.
Oh my God, that was hot.
It was hot. I know.
Hot.
That's why I took it. You know, even though it's our anniversary, it's like
bad, evil. Don't do it. Oh my God, so hot.
Right. It was hot. That's why I want to hear from him, even if he does do it, even though I had to say don't do it, because I have to be responsible.
It was a great opening story.
Right.
He was very believable.
He's done all of that.
Got this situation going on.
So.
All right, so who do we have there?
That makes me wonder how common it is.
Here is Sister Deborah has come into the microphone circle.
How you doing?
Good. Say happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy. I mean, it's an odd year, I admit. Last year we had a bigger
happy
deal.
Anniversary.
It was our 16th wedding anniversary, sweet 16.
What are you supposed to get someone for their 17th anniversary? Does anyone know what the gift is? There's a chart.
I think, you know what? I could find that out.
I'm going to Google it, too. You could probably Google faster than me, though.
I'm actually on an internet thing. So, Deborah, welcome to the anniversary party. And did you say we have another somebody on the line? Because I don't have notes
on
anybody.
But don't worry about it. It's about our anniversary, so I'm ready to talk about any subject you'd like to talk about.
Well, let's see then. Okay, well, I was going to just Google this 17th anniversary to see what the idea is here. And 17 is a weird number.
It is. I don't know if it has an official like thing.
It's a prime number.
Oh, it is a prime number. That's sexy. I love prime numbers.
It's a prime number, 17.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
What's so prime about it? Does that mean
yeah,
we're in our prime?
Nothing for 17th until 20th. There's China, and then 25th is silver. But you guys are in the blank period. Up to 15th.
I mean, it's not even giving me a clear thing like silver or anything. It's just, the gemstone list in citron and amethyst. Who cares?
I don't have that.
This wedding anniversary does not have any flowers associated with it. Boy, this wedding anniversary does not have any traditional materials or symbols associated with
it. Right,
it
stops at 15th and then at 20th and 25th and 30th. So they, you know, either they don't expect many people to make it past 15, or they figure past 15, you know, you're just kind of, you do whatever,
and then we don't care until 20th. Or you have to suffer through not having
every 5 years now it means
anything to recognize
that's
you.
That's the years fly by as you get older, right?
Well, they do.
That's what I heard.
They do, unless your loved one.
I'm just kidding, they go so fast.
Unless one is incarcerated, in which case they could go slowly.
The days crawl by.
They could crawl.
Wow, you got like a special gift of the elongated time.
Yes, you could see it that way. You know, there's always a silver lining.
Yeah.
To life. So, how are you doing, Deborah?
I'm mellow. I'm doing very, very well. Thank you. What are you doing?
I'm doing pretty mellow myself. You know, we had a big Seder here.
Oh, we had a wonderful Seder.
Thursday night. Did you enjoy that?
Uh-huh. I would too.
Chag Sameach Pesach.
Very, very.
I drank a very considerable amount.
You drank a pretty amount.
I did. So I'm trying to go slow. I'm drinking agua. I got very trashed. Liqueur.
And you were
sipping very slowly.
And you were drinking kosher red wine.
I was drinking kosher red wine.
Getting pissed on kosher
Thursday
red
night.
You know, I found Susie's tradition was to down one glass of wine all at once. And I found that to be much easier with the Manischewitz than with the Merlot.
Really?
It was almost impossible to down a glass of Merlot. But Manischewitz, it was like...
Manischewitz is like grape juice.
It was fun to chug that shit, you know?
It's grape juice. And it's high proof. It's just got so much sugar. It's got a lot of...
It's just the alcohol. It's the sugar, too. Yeah.
I went to work the next day, and I was complaining. I was like, oh, I was at a seder. They made me drink 4 glasses of wine. And everyone's like, oh, you were drinking Manischewitz, though. That doesn't count.
Oh,
I was like, how the fuck does that not count?
It counts more. Because it's got this sugar that raises your levels of sugar and then it lowers. And it's even higher proof. Anyway, serious stuff. Moses has us.
Moses? I haven't heard that. It's a Moses...
Well, Moses is the central point of Passover is thanks to Moses. He's the one that led the people of Israel out of Egypt.
But they didn't drink Manischewitz while they were
leaving. They barely mention Moses in the Haggadah.
I saw a blog the other day. It was in Gourmet magazine about the person who you don't want to invite to sin because he's a know-it-all. And in there was the pearl was that Moses isn't mentioned.
Right.
In the Haggadah. It's like God isn't mentioned in which book? Book
was
Esther. Very good.
My favorite book. My favorite book. Book of Esther. No God.
No God at all. It's just people. And
Esther prays.
I could swear. I shouldn't swear, but I could.
You should.
I should
swear.
Believe
Why
that
not?
Moses was not in the Haggadah. Check them.
What is the
if
Haggadah?
If he is barely in it, let's put it this way. I mean, barely.
What is the Haggadah?
Haggadah is the book we were reading.
But who wrote it, and is it a part of something?
It is a compendium written over centuries. Centuries
a
of
compendium
rabbis.
To the Torah? Well,
It's the accompaniment to this ritual spring dinner that you have to celebrate. Rebirth, regeneration, just like Easter.
Do you guys know who wrote the Haggadah, though? Is there like
well,
an
some
author?
People, yeah, some people are known. Others have lapsed into the mists.
Rabbi Akiba wrote parts of it.
All these guys, Tarfon.
These different midrashes, they mention them in there. They say these guys are sitting around a fire and they're
By the way,
telling
you just,
stories.
You just mentioned the word midrash, right?
Midrash,
Yeah, from Doresh. I think to charge someone with knowledge. And I was wondering, you know, are the Arab madrasas midrashim?
Yes. I just realized that, too. Well, you just taught me that.
Did I just
That's
say
a
that?
Freaky thing to realize. The madras is drash.
Yeah.
Because, of course, the Arab language is very close to...
Their languages, and they're sister languages. At the same time, actually, broke off from...
And I just realized
I have
no
idea what you guys are talking about.
Okay.
Can you let me in on your...
The madras. This is where... All the little terrorists.
Don't eat that voice. That's what she is when she told me she eats Christian children.
Yeah, that's true.
Didn't Barack Obama go to a madrasa?
Well, you know, Barack Obama did go to a madrasa for a little while. And,
how
you know,
come when you invite the Gentile into your story, it becomes scary? You guys are talking about it all.
Actually,
like,
I wasn't sweetly. Well, I was talking about a different Gentile. I was talking about
I'm the
Gentile. Arab
Gentile
as opposed
Can
to
I not
Christian
reuse
Gentile.
That word? Does that word offend you?
Where did that come from?
Myself a Gentile?
You know what? It is a little bit offensive because
because
Gentile to me means like genteel, gentium.
Well, that's
a gentleman,
what I think the word means too.
A gentle person. And a Gentile is a gentle person, and that must mean that a Jew who isn't a Gentile
is not gentle.
Very gentle.
Oh, God.
We ain't gentle.
Oh, that's
we
how
ain't
it's
gentle.
Offensive. Jesus.
So I guess it's sort of saying a Jew is rude and crude, which...
Oh, my God. Can
you
I
know?
Call... Okay, so I'm a goy. Should I call
goy.
Myself that?
I love...
My boss called me a goy the other day.
Goy means... You know what goy means? Nation.
That's right.
Lo yisakoy el
goy. Maybe he said it in another way. What's the word for a single person?
Oh, my
God.
Boy or girl.
I'm out of it.
Girl nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall we make war anymore.
But energy directed weapons are okay, though.
Right.
So as long as that.
Pocket rocks.
Honey, you are a shiksa.
Shiksa. Shiksa is a sexy.
Prime grade A
sexy Gentile girl.
Can I? I'm offended that you're offended by the word Gentile. Because I'm offended by the word Gentile. It means not chosen. Not chosen is what it means.
Oh.
And you're like, we're not gentle. And it's like, would you rather be gentle or chosen? Fucking chosen!
Do I have to be?
You do, apparently.
Why? What did I do?
Well, I mean, we take for granted being chosen. We take that for granted, Deborah and I.
Right. Yeah. And I go, chosen. I'm a Gentile, and Gentile's a dirty word. It means not chosen. And you go, Gentile means gentle.
But aren't you chosen? I mean, the whole born-again thing is like, you're chosen once you're born again.
No, that
again.
Means you're opting into a horrible ritual to try to claw your way in behind the chosen people.
But then you kick the chosen people out because we never get to go to heaven.
Too deep for me.
We don't get to go to
heaven.
Well,
you do have that whole, like, there is depth.
There is depth to Christianity that Judaism doesn't have. It's true. Judaism is a very kind of day-to-day religion. It's not about the hereafter. It's mostly about the now.
Christianity is all about abandoning your life.
Kids, we got 9 minutes left. Put the show to 1 hour.
Oh, we are.
And then we're
going to
party.
All right, so then
I have a lot of friends here.
Talk about how wonderful we are.
I have freedom.
Can you please have some people talking about telling us happy anniversary? Can you come over? Well, come over to the microphone. Come over to the microphone. Come here, come here. Microphonic anniversary wishes before we go.
Happy anniversary, Susie and Max.
Thank you, Kornzilla.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Kornzilla.
Happy anniversary. And who am I speaking to?
You are speaking O.
O. Is that like Story of O?
Lady O.
Lady O.
That's close enough.
Ooh.
O. Ooh. Ooh. Double O. Ooh. I love that. Is it just spelled with an O?
Just O.
How does Oprah
it's
feel
so
about
simple.
That?
Doesn't you know what? There's always room for one more.
I say so. More than one O.
We can expand the definition.
There's a big O and a little O.
That's right, but we're the
you know.
Big O.
An O is always sexy.
She thinks she's
so
a big
fuck
O,
it.
But
we need more O's.
Well, you're big in another way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us on our anniversary. Mm-hmm. And we are. Everybody's going to the party room. They don't. Us.
I was going to Twitter my last Twitter of the show, but that could be some of our last 8 minutes. I should probably talk instead.
Oh, what did you Twitter?
I don't know. I haven't Twittered anything yet.
Come we're going to go off and party.
Oh.
Well, I'm feeling very sexy tonight.
Really? Oh, well, all let's find right. out that.
I am. I'm modeled lingerie.
I'm you feeling modeled sexy.
Are you wearing some
I'm
lingerie?
No,
sexy.
I'm not.
She got dressed.
I'm naked
we
underneath
came.
My clothes.
Now, lingerie model, you should wear lingerie.
I know.
You know, people are
well,
coming.
Well, I wore it all around
in.
The last
oh,
party I was
people are coming
at.
In.
Yeah, came
okay.
with us.
So, let's have everybody in the room. Come on for one last
everybody
goodbye.
In the room
everybody
for one. I'm
going to
open up the microphone.
Come on, Jonathan. Jonathan, we got to get you.
Radio room. Everybody into Radio Susie one room. It's Obamaros.
Oh, yeah.
Your hair has grown.
Yes.
Your hair has grown out, Obamaros. What's that about? Well, but, okay.
All right. So I want to thank all the Mogulus.
You Mogulus. Look so much like Obama with your short hair and your wings.
The yeah. Mogulus listeners.
Mogulus.
Yeah, I want to thank all our listeners.
Yeah.
I want to thank a revolution of freedom. And freedom comes from our heart and it comes from our souls. And it comes from the center of our crotches. Because that's where freedom resides.
That's where my freedom comes from.
And that's where all our freedoms reside.
It's the root chakra.
Yeah.
And, yes, and tonight is a celebration of freedom. Freedom of the body, the mind, and the soul. Love and freedom. That's what we're celebrating tonight. And our 17th wedding anniversary. And we can't find a jewel or a substance. Maybe we can say that pot represents, marijuana, cannabis represents 17th wedding anniversary.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
We are legally licensed for this.
We are all medicinal patients.
We are all medicinal patients.
What is your ailment?
I'm so ailing. Let me tell you. Well, I almost died right after
great
that.
Excuse.
That other wedding, that big wedding anniversary with the squirting. We had all this, you know, double Annie squirting anniversary going on, and 2006. And it was Annie Body and Annie Cruz, and they were all squirting. And, in fact, that's what's showing right now. That's what's playing. Oh, and there I am getting my pussy eaten by Jack Lawrence. He's a good pussy eater, even though Mae Victoria says he isn't. He's pretty good.
It looks great.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He made mom. So, anyway, right after that, right after this night, but then we did the Women Rhythm event, you know, that you were at, Sarah, and then I almost dropped it. What that model got. Septic
shock. Oh, you got that model got, only she lost her hands and feet and life.
She lost it all, but little by little, in this torturous way. And I was fortunate enough to not lose it, and my doctor, Dr. Kluke, is somewhere around here. Anyway,
thank God, man.
Thank you, Doc Kluke, for saving
my
life.
Thank Dr. Kluke.
Yeah.
That model story, like, hit close to home.
I could have been her.
Yeah.
Totally. And so that's why I can smoke marijuana. Thank you very much. I survived now. So.
That's good.
Anyway.
I feel like a pussy. I have anxiety.
So.
I got migraine.
So come on back here. I want the pretty girls. Come on back here. Come
pretty
on.
Pretty girls.
Pretty girls, get
on the
back
microphone.
Here. Get around me. I don't know if we can all
you
get on
have
microphones.
A microphone.
Maybe we should take the microphone.
Get around the microphone, not around her headset.
Oh, get around me, though. I want
you don't have a microphone.
No, but what you're going to do is you're going to turn the microphone that way. And come on over here.
Okay.
You're not too tall. We'll get down on your knees. look at my cute paw. Like, isn't that cute? For my anniversary, a client gave me this.
We have 4 minutes. Susie, we're shutting down.
Okay, everybody, wish me something. I don't know what.
Happy anniversary.
Wish you love.
Happy anniversary. To many more years.
A pussy eating. And orgasms and fun and life and freedom.
Freedom.
Sex. Everything you want.
Freedom.
That sounded good. That was
legal
a good
marijuana.
Little wish. Can I say an amen? Amen.
Amen.
Can I hear an A women?
A women.
The women were stronger.
Hell yeah.
I don't know what that means.
A lot of estrogen in here.
All right. We're going to go party in the bar now. We're going to make some film that you'll eventually see on Radio Susie 1 TV. In the meantime, I want you to be good in every sense of the word, even while you're being bad. I want you to be happy. I want you to try not to hurt anyone, including yourself. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you. I love you, sweetheart.
I love you, darling girl.
Happy anniversary.
From our house to your house, you've been listening to Susan on Radio Susan. And we're going to see you again very shortly.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie 1 on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.